The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Okay, a couple of issues in relation to motoring we're going to discuss. A new AA Ireland survey in relation to behaviour behind the wheel, and also some new statistics today from the Road Safety Authority. An increase in number of road deaths in the first half of the year. Unfortunately, 39 drivers, 12 passengers, 18 pedestrians, 3 motorcyclists and 6 pedal cyclists killed on Irish roads in the first 6 months of the year. The highest number of fatalities in Cork with 11, followed by Tipperary with 7 and Dublin in 6. We're joined by Conor Faulkner of the AA and also by our own motoring correspondent Michael Sheridan to discuss this. First of all, Conor, your survey today from the AA Ireland, what are the main things that it's found?
Well, this was a survey of 4,000 AA motor insurance customers, the length and breadth of the country. Pretty robust sample. Now, we engage with people all the time. There's people listening to us who'll be familiar with it. And we ask them their views on lots and lots of things. Gardaí, road tax, fuel prices, etc. And included in that was a question on whether they felt general driver behaviour had got better or worse in the last 2 years. And overwhelmingly, with over 30% of people said it had got worse, there was less than 3% of people who said it had got better. So it seems pretty clear that the consensus is driver behaviour is worsening.
And why would they think that?
Well, it's my belief, this is sort of stepping away from the data towards what I think is the reason behind it, but I think it simply tells us that traffic has got busier. Almost always driving frustrations, rudenesses that you come across, people blocking boxes, obnoxious behaviour, they're very often facets of impatience. So the more you have traffic jams, the more you're going to have road rage.
Michael Sheridan, what do you make of that analysis?
Yeah, it's true. We have seen, we're returning to the good times in terms of the volume of traffic, and it is one of those issues that is becoming more and more prevalent. The reality of modern cars now as well is that we're even more cocooned than we used to be. So our connection with the outside world is we're more insulated. So
in what way? Explain that to me.
Well, the lack of noise, vibration and harshness, NVH as the industry calls it, coming into the cabin means that you've got this nearly airtight cocoon where you can listen to your own sounds or listen to your own head or whatever is in your world.
I listen and to the radio, Michael.
You've got a bit of a disconnect. Of course, it's welded to Today FM. You've got a disconnect with what's happening on the outside world and you don't really relate to it. It's almost as if you're watching through a widescreen HD TV at the traffic around you. And that can give some people a false sense of superiority and entitlement. And one phrase that Conor and I would have used way over the years is we share the road. We're road users, so everybody has to share. And the trouble is, when the good times come back and people are on the road, they get greedy again and people forget that their journey is no more important than somebody else's.
I'll take my life in my hand here, Conor, and say this is particularly the issue, the attitude that some drivers, not all, but just some drivers have towards cyclists in particular.
Yeah, and look, there's psychology on this that sort of predates the internet, and I've read a fair bit of it over the years. And normally when two human beings meet, we're evolved animals. There's a whole load of non-verbal communications. You make eye contact, you make hand gestures, all of which are designed to dissolve aggression. When you're in a car, you're not exposed to any of that. You're cocooned, as Michael says, and then you're not moderating your reactions. And you can have tempers escalate and fray, and then when two drivers meet, they're beyond the point of self-control. The other thing is particularly stressful about car use is even if you're on a bus and it's jammed, even if you don't do it, somewhere in the back of your head, you know that the bus has a door. You can get out of it and walk. If you're a pedestrian, obviously you're a pedestrian. If you're a cyclist, you have options. And in fact, when you see cyclists weaving, that frustration tells on motorists because the motorists are literally, they are literally and psychologically stuck in their cars.
So is there almost like jealousy of the freedom of the cyclist to weave, is it?
It's a facet of their frustration. I say on a typical July morning, you're not too bothered. You know, your work journey is reduced in time anyway. On a wet November morning when it's white knuckles and, you know, the crash on the M50 already has you 20 minutes late for work and you don't know how late you're going to be, it's a stressful situation and you will bark in any direction. And probably the next thing you see that irritates you is the misbehaving cyclist, so you bark at him. But it's a facet of the individual's frustration rather than anything that's changed in human nature, I think.
And people tend to think they they own a certain route. If they travel a route frequently, that's their road. And how dare anybody get in their way of making progress on their road? And that just brings out the worst in people. And that's the trouble that we have. And then if you take somebody who decides to sit and hog in illegally in the middle lane or lane 3 or the outside lane when they should be in lane 1, it just takes one person to get belligerent and say, no, actually, I'm going to enforce the law here. And then people let that driver get inside their head. It's the fact that people allow other drivers' actions to get inside their head that wrecks your day. So the best advice for drivers to avoid road rage is not let the idiot get inside and walk around your head. Let them go straight to the scene of the crash or wherever they're going. If they're in such a hurry to take up 15 feet of tarmac, let them away with it and only worry about your own journey and getting yourself safely to where you need to go. That's the trick, is just not letting that person inside your head. And once you do, then people just become irrational. And the terrible thing is, a ton and a half of metal is a lethal machine, and you could make an absolute life-changing error just by being angry and just wanting to sort of shout. So the trick really is to just say, OK, they're an idiot. It's not going to affect what I'm doing. I'm just going to keep going my way.
Conor Faulkner, something else I saw Maya Murdoch from the Road Safety Authority complain about today was the increased number of people who actually failed drink driving tests in the first half of the year. Is there a cultural shift coming back here again? I know the government are finally managed to get through the road traffic bill last Friday in the Dáil, but is there a sort of a thing again, a growing thing that people feel that they can have a few drinks because they're unlikely to be detected?
That has always been there, and it still is. I mean, the most convincing way to stop somebody drinking and driving isn't a tremendous advertising campaign talking about the dangers and all that sort of stuff. It's flashing blue lights. Flashing blue lights in the car park of a pub, the number one deterrent. If people don't believe they're going to see them, then human beings, being what they are more inclined to take risks. And I think if you couple that with a general lift in economic activity and in busyness and activity on the roads, more people with more disposable income spending more money on leisure, in the continued absence or thinness on the ground of Garda checkpoints, means that more people are going to take a risk, which means whenever Garda do breathalyse people, you know, if you didn't know the answer to that, Matt, you still might predict it. Knowing what else you know, you still might say, look, I think it's likely that more people are going to be detected in the current climate, and that's true. The solution is deploy more Garda.
And just both of you to finish, and we did discuss this with Michael Healy-Ray on Friday's programme, but your views on this new law that has been brought in the Road Traffic Bill, that learner drivers will not be allowed to travel unaccompanied. And this is a major issue for many students, perhaps going to college, or maybe apprentices or young workers who say they need their car to get to work, won't be able to get to work otherwise, and they can't expect their mother or father or some other driver to accompany them in the car.
There's an initial period of pain until people can actually get an efficient and a quick test. But the tests
can be gotten within 11 to 13 weeks. And there's no guarantee, as I put it to Michael Healy-Ray, that somebody, just because you're going to get a test, is going to pass it.
But they should be, with the training that's in place now, everything has been put in place to let drivers get up to speed. And if people realise that this is the only route they have to getting onto the roads, because it has been illegal for yonks for people to drive unaccompanied on a learner permit. And until everybody says, OK, it's like the flashing blue lights, until this is the way it is, and if you want to stay mobile, you have to do it. And then people can prioritise it. And then let's get people coming out of school with their driving test done.
I'm sorry, Matt, I have no sympathy for this whatsoever. None whatsoever. I think it is a ridiculous mindset that people have. If you hold a learner permit, you don't have a driving licence. You don't have a driving licence. If somebody told you that the driver of the school bus didn't have a driving license, you'd be furious. You haven't got a driving license. You have a document that gives you limited access to some public roads while learning how to drive. It is not a document that allows you commute to work, go back and forth to college, give your mates lifts. You don't have a driving license. You haven't got one. You don't have a right to drive. You've got no case here. And if you want to get it sorted out, apply for your driving test. When you pass it, you'll never have the problem again. If you fail it, surely you can't still insist that you're allowed to drive on your own. Learner permit holders do not have a driving licence. That's why they're not allowed
to
drive.
And just to confirm and clarify this, if you do pass your test, is there not a period afterwards where you still have to be accompanied? Or can you go straight to driving?
No. You have to have your N plates up for 2 years, but you're allowed to drive on your own.
You have fewer penalty points available to you. So the laws are a little tighter in that respect.
They're very strict.
But the moment you pass your driving test, now you have a driving licence. Now you can drive. Before you pass the driving test, you don't have a driving licence. And that's why you're not allowed to commute, drop the kids to school, give your mother a lift, do your apprenticeship, go to college. None of those things. You don't have a driving licence. That's why you're not allowed to drive.
Conor Faulkner from AA Ireland. Michael Sheridan, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.